Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. We'll talk about illegals, the debate. Cori Bush apparently can cure people by just putting her hands on them. We're going to do over emails. There's so much to talk about tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. We're never going to fit it all in over the next 2 hours. Nevertheless, we will persevere. We will persevere just like a Mr. J. Zeemer Jr. You know what time it is now. It is time for Medal of Honor Monday. Every Monday at this time, we go over somebody who earned the Congressional Medal of Honor. We just read their citation. That's all we do. And this one's very short, so I'll read the citation, then we'll talk about just a couple little things around it. Remember, I always tell you, you can email the show, love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can email Medal of Honor recommendations, too. If you have ones you like, email them. We like them, too. We'll read it eventually. This one's a Dear Oracle / Menu Whisperer / Vet and our nation's would-be best president. I want to nominate Jay Zeemer and his bomber crew for Medal of Honor Monday for fighting off over 24 Japanese Zeros in his B-17E and getting the photos to forward Operation Cartwheel. In fact, his bombardier on the same trip got the Medal of Honor, while the rest of his crew got Silver Stars. His crew, nicknamed the Eager Beavers, are the most decorated air crew in the United States Air Force. His name is Connor. So without further ado, this is an Army Air Force thing, so we're going to play the Army music behind it. Let's talk about this.
Three, eight, five.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
On the 16th of June, 1943, Major Zeemer, then captain, volunteered as pilot of a bomber on an important photographic mapping mission covering the formidably defended area in the vicinity of Buka, Solomon Islands. While photographing the Buka Aerodrome, his crew observed about 20 enemy fighters on the field, many of them taking off. Despite the certainty of a dangerous attack by this strong force, Major Zeemer proceeded with his mapping run even after the enemy attack began. In the ensuing engagement, Major Zeemer sustained gunshot wounds in both arms and legs, one leg being broken. Despite his injuries, he maneuvered the damaged plane so skillfully that his gunners were able to fight off the enemy during a running flight which lasted 40 minutes. The crew destroyed at least 5 hostile planes, of which Major Zeemer himself shot one down. Although weak from loss of blood, he refused medical aid until the enemy had broken combat. Then he turned over the controls, but continued to exercise command despite lapses into unconsciousness and directed the flight to a base 580 miles away. In this voluntary action, Major Zeemer, with superb skill, resolution, and courage, accomplished a mission of great value. Okay, first, there are a couple things, actually, I want to talk about here. That's it for the citation. All right, So I want to talk about a couple things. Then we'll get back to politics. There's a lot of politics tonight. A couple more things on this Trump-Biden debate, and then we'll go over other stuff, all right? So first, it floors me how many men during World War II and many other wars, I don't want to act like this is just World War II, how many men will volunteer for missions that are insanely dangerous. It's just that in and of itself is so much courage. You've heard me talk about the sub service, U.S. subs during World War II, and their incredible service. And it was so brutal and so dangerous. It was an all-volunteer force. And not only would these guys volunteer to be on these subs, you're volunteering to be in a hot metal tube. You're also completely vulnerable. If you get hit with something, you're really dead in a sub. It ain't no battleship with armor on it. But these guys, they would take on these missions on purpose, deep into enemy territory. Deep in, and have you ever heard of a guy named Mush Morton? His nickname is Mush. Mush Morton, most people haven't heard of him. You should have. If you're a World War II buff, you have. He's one of the most decorated, if not the most decorated, sub-commander in World War II. Well, he lost his life. Why did he lose his life? I didn't even know if he was suicidal. He would get back from doing the most insanely dangerous missions of sinking this and sinking that and sinking this. And he'd get back, and he'd want to go right back out again. And went back out one too many times. Him and his entire crew ended up giving their lives for this country. So these B-17 bomber runs, these reconnaissance missions, oftentimes in missions like this, it was voluntary. Hey, we need a volunteer. Who wants to go do a mapping run? Now, a mapping run isn't sexy, is it? But it's everything. We didn't have satellites back then. If you're going to assault an area, or you even just want to know what an area has, believe me, the Japanese aren't going to telegram you and let you know what their weapons they have on them. No one's going to tell you. The information doesn't exist. You have to go get it. Well, if you're in a bomber, especially the B-17s, they're my favorite planes of all time, the Flying Fortress. The Flying Fortress can be, well, the nickname itself, while it's really, really cool, it's not the most accurate thing in the world. I would encourage you, if you ever get the chance, and they're still out there for sure in various museums, to go see one. Put your hands on one. Even get in one if you can. Fortress? They're made of the thinnest material I've ever seen in my life. There's no fortress for the men inside. If you shoot one and it goes and it hits the plane, it's going to go through the skin of the plane and pray that it doesn't hit a man inside. They're not flying some flying tank up there that provides any cover at all. You are vulnerable. You are incredibly slow. And the other planes, the fighter planes, are so fast that you are a sitting duck. Well, if you study the Pacific War or the European version, either theater, no matter which one fascinates you, if you study the air power of it, what you'll see is, you'll see this as a common theme throughout it. The challenge was not always, how do we get our bombers to X so they can bomb it? How do we get our bombers to Berlin? We'll just use that one as an example. How do we get our bombers over Berlin? Well, that's not that hard. Eventually, given the range of the bombers, you can get them to Berlin. The challenge is, how do we get our bombers with fighter escorts to where we're going? These bombers, flying fortresses, ain't a fortress at all. You have to have fighter planes escorting your bombers, or your bombers are essentially a gigantic cow in the skies with a bunch of wolves attacking. They are slow. They are thin. You are toast. Now, I wanted to make sure you understood that before I go back over the story. They're on a mapping run. They have to fly over this island, take a bunch of pictures so they can bring the pictures back to all the various people and say, this is what's here. This is what we saw. If you are on an unescorted B-17 and you happen to fly over a Japanese airfield and you see a bunch of Zeros, a bunch of Japanese fighter planes taking off, these guys all would have known they're probably not coming back alive. And I don't mean it would be a coin flip thing. If you were over a Japanese airfield with 20 Japanese fighter planes coming at you and you're alone in a B-17, your chances of surviving that fight are minuscule. Oh, well, what about all the guns they have? You have any idea how insanely rare it was for one of those guns outside of a bomber plane to actually shoot down an enemy fighter? Incredibly difficult to even hit one, to wound it. It was rare, extremely rare to shoot one down. You are a sitting duck. And this B-17 took on 20 of them. 20 of them. Allegedly, they shot down 5. I'll leave my comments on that alone. They say they shot down 5. Those air combat numbers tend to get inflated a bit after the fact, historically. Something about those airmen, I don't know what it is, but either way, to even live through that is amazing. But imagine the fear. You're flying over the middle of the Pacific Ocean in a big lumbering cow with angry wolves attacking you. And they volunteered for that crap. Puts it in a different perspective, doesn't it? Reminds you that there was a time in this country where men didn't need chalk. When you just naturally had, there was an overabundance of testosterone out there. Now, that country's gone now. It's not because the men are worse. The water's worse. You see, what happened was over the years, I don't explain it enough. Women got on this birth control. Well, birth control jacks your estrogen levels up, and then it comes out of you when you use the bathroom. They treat the water so you can drink it again, only they don't treat out the estrogen. They'll get out everything else but that. You're drinking estrogen. It's in your bottled water. Did you know that? It's in your plastics. Get some chalk in your body, fellas. A male vitality stack specifically. Ladies, they have female vitality stacks for you. Your levels are just as important as men's. Get yourself some natural herbal supplements from Chalk. They will help you. They're wonderful to work with. Don't just go to chalk.com. If you want to call or even text them, they're here to help you. Call 50-CHALK-3000. 50-CHALK-3000. Huge discount on any subscription for life. All right? All right. I'm going to finish my thoughts on this debate stuff before I do some emails and then go over this selective service, quote, controversy. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, Medal of Honor Monday. If you miss any part of the show, download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. All right, I want to cover a little bit more about this debate before I do any emails and then all kinds of other stuff here on a Monday. Now, I can't even imagine, by the way, Chris, how much hate mail we're going to get for the turtle story I told. I know, it's going to be bad. Chris, can you people eat turtles? It's not a fish. Is it it's just the shell? Is it the shell? Seriously, what? It's not a kosher animal. Can't you people do something to it to make it kosher? No? All right, fine. Look, I've never eaten it either. I was just asking. Anyway, back to the Trump-Biden debate. Because I think there's a couple different things, couple different risks here for both of them. First, let's deal with the Biden risks. Biden is the one with the most risk here, not Trump. Biden is, here it is.
This is where we get very interesting. All right, so this is black voters, Biden versus Trump margin. Look at black voters age 50 and older, and you'll see, look, Joe Biden was leading amongst this group at this point by 83 points back in 2020. Now it's 74 points. So yeah, a slight decline in that margin, but nothing out of this world. Look at black voters under the age of 50. Holy cow, folks. Holy cow. Look at this. Joe Biden was up by 80 points among this group back at this point in 2020. Look at where that margin has careened down towards. It's now just, get this, 37 points. That lead has dropped by more than half, Mr. Burr.
If Joe Biden doesn't get 80% of the black vote, he's going to lose this election. They're panicking. This is Jake Tapper on CNN.
Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey up 5 in PA. Biden's down 3. Arizona Congressman Ruben Gallego running for Senate in Arizona up 4. Biden down 7. Nevada Senator Jackie Rosen up 2 in Nevada. Biden's down 12. How can you look at this, these statistics, these numbers, and not conclude that Joe Biden is a drag on the ticket?
It's bad. It's really bad. And there's another physical element, mental element to this that we haven't really discussed. Well, we have, but we're going to discuss it again. Joe Biden's getting worse. Remember, none of us are getting younger. none of us are getting younger. That's not how it works. As you get older, things start to break. Your body and your mind. God didn't make these things to last forever. At the G7, remember the G7 meetings. Joe Biden just met with these G7 leaders last week. I want you to listen to this. This is British journalist Harry Cole is his name. Joe Biden is getting to the point where he can't pretend anymore.
Awkward moment with President Biden where he was looking very doddery. He was wandering around. He sort of wandered off.
He was looking dodgery.
And Giorgio Meloni, the Italian premier, had to
had to get him a spot of tea.
Guide him back to the crowd. It was quite painful viewing. Everyone's putting a slight brave face on it this morning. We've got some more for that for the paper tomorrow. But you can see from that footage yourself. It's this is getting embarrassing now. And you do really wonder how President Biden is going to be able to run an election campaign in October and November for re-election. And if he won, is that a man you really think is going to get through the next 4 years?
I mean, what was going on?
Painful is the word he used to describe it. Painful. Okay, so Joe Biden's unpopular. Joe Biden's not functional. Now, that gives him advantages and disadvantages. It does give him an advantage that the bar really is genuinely low. People see how Trump operates. They see Trump giving these long speeches. His energy's still good. All these sit-down interviews, unscripted. Trump is still incredibly sharp. But because of that, Joe Biden, if he just doesn't poop his pants on national television, it'll be thought of as a win in expectations. Remember, life is about expectations. As I've told my kids many times, it's all about the bar. It's all about the expectation bar, where you placed it. That's what it's all about, right? So there's that, but the risk really is tremendous for Joe Biden. I'll say this again, and Chris, write this one down. Not that I don't think they're going to have him drugged up, and I know he's going to hide in Camp David and rest for a week. What if Joe Biden has an episode of some kind? I don't mean a serious health episode. That's really not what I'm saying. Remember, no scripts. These are the rules. No scripts. Meaning, even if CNN gives him the answers ahead of time, which of course they will, we assume, Joe Biden's going to have to come up with the words he uses on his own. He's not even allowed to bring out pre-prepared notes. What if Joe Biden freezes? This is a human being with a teleprompter in front of him who routinely now loses his train of thought, does the anyway thing. Chris says they can cut away. No, you don't understand. I understand that he's got two moderators working for him, an entire network working for him. The deck is entirely stacked against Trump. I get that. But none of that, can cover. If Joe Biden does one of these, hey, what about nuclear weapons? Well, I mean, the thing about nuclear weapons is, there's no way to cover something like that. You can't cover it up. If Joe Biden has an episode, it's over. All right? That's the risk for him. Let's talk about the risk for Trump before we move on to emails and illegals and other things. Also, I've decided we're going to stop giving Fred rough greens. Just wanted to give everyone a heads up. It's not that it doesn't work. The problem is it works too well. I'm done being woken up to Fred bashing his wet nose into my face looking for pets and snuggles and attention in the morning.
And this rough greens we've been given, Fred, the problem with it is he's going to keep living for so long. We have seen so many differences in him. He used to, well, I won't give you the specifics on the digestive problems, but he has none of those anymore. He used to eat grass all the time. He never does that because his stomach was all messed up. His coat looks better. His breath looks better, which is handy when he stuffs his nose in your face. It's a natural supplement you pour on your dog's food. Dog food is dead food. It's brown because it's dead. There's no nutrition in it. If you want your dog to live a long time, unlike mine, pour Rough Greens on your dog's food. 833-33-MY-DOG gets you a free Jumpstart trial bag. Or you can go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. All right, let me finish up my debate thoughts here. So Joe Biden's behind. Joe Biden's not functional. Joe Biden is in a very risky situation here with this debate. It is fraught with risk for him. However, there are risks to Trump. You know, see, let me explain it this way. Everyone can see that Joe Biden is behind. I just played all the numbers, the approval numbers, the everything. He's so unpopular. He's behind. So Joe Biden is behind. And you don't want to be the guy that's behind. You know, think of it, a football game. It's the fourth quarter. 10 minutes left, you're up 21. Now, if I was to ask you which team you want to be the team that's ahead 21, right? That's what you want to be. It's what I want to be. I don't want to be down 21. So there's that. He's the one who has to score the points. He's the one behind. He's the one who has to catch up. But the team ahead, how many times have you seen a team lose that game? Are you a sports fan, a football fan or baseball, whatever? How many times have you seen a team, maybe even your team, blow a big lead at the end? You know, I used to be an obsessive New York Giants fan before I stopped watching NFL football because of how disgusting that league is. But when I say obsessed, every game, every player, I knew it all. I remember it like it was yesterday. I watched my Giants. I watched them cough up. I believe it was 24 points. I remember it like it was yesterday. Then I forgot what it was. But I think it was 24 points in about 7 minutes against the Philadelphia Eagles to lose the game at the end. I remember where I was sitting. I remember watching the coach. He was Tom Coughlin back then, freaking out on the sidelines. And you could see it. You could see it through the television set. The people who were ahead were starting to freak out as things got closer and closer and closer, and then they just came apart. I'm not concerned about Trump freaking out. The big stage is nothing that is new for Trump. It's something he's used to. But how do you handle it when you're in the debate, you're ahead, the other guy's behind? That's an important part. And here's why I asked the question, because I don't know which Trump is going to show up. I had a sat down with Sean Spicer. You know Sean Spicer? You probably know who that is. He was Trump's press secretary for a while. Very, very close to Trump. Was very close to Trump. Remains very close to Trump. He is a Trump guy. And Sean's a friend of mine. Oh, he's coming on our show this Thursday? Oh, cool. We'll talk to him about this exact thing this Thursday. Anyway, I talked to Sean about this, about Trump and debates, because Sean was there for Trump's various debate preps. And Sean will tell you the same way he's told Trump. He'll come on the air and say it. He will say, I had moments with Trump where I was giving him information before debate, and he really wasn't paying attention, or at least it looked like he wasn't. And then he went out there on the debate stage and remembered all of it and stuck to the issues and just destroyed everybody. He was awesome. He said his ability to retain information and regurgitate it is unlike anything he's ever seen. And he said, I was also there trying to help for that first Joe Biden debate. You probably remember it. Maybe you've blocked it out. If you're a Trump hardcore, you've probably blocked it out of your mind. It was unspeakably awful. Trump would never stop talking. It was really bad. It looked bad. He just would not shut up. He interrupted every... That's the time when Joe Biden finally lost his temper and told him to shut up. Remember that? It was a moment that you don't see on the debate stage. I believe he said verbatim, oh, will you shut up, man? Like, it was bad. It was really, really bad. And Trump's poll numbers cratered after that. He dropped after that. It hurt him badly. If Donald Trump walks into this debate and he does, hey, this is what your life was like under me, and this is what your life was like under Joe, and he sticks to that the entire time. Whatever Joe Biden says, Trump's talking about inflation, he's talking about border, he's talking about, boom, these big issues. If he sticks to that, Joe Biden's finished. That debate might be the last time you see Joe Biden as a candidate. I don't know whether I want to say get cocky or just kind of lose focus. If Trump kind of skids off the rails on that, then, well, I mean, you remember, you heard Miranda Devine earlier. It can end up making doddering old poopy pants Joe look like a sympathetic figure. So it'll be, look, I'll be watching every minute of it. And I miss some of this stuff because I get bored with it. I'll be watching every minute next Thursday, all right? All right, before I get to the draft, the military draft, women being part of the draft, I'm going to do some emails because I'm a little behind on those and do a couple other things. Dear High Altitude Hero, yesterday I heard you talking about midnight sessions in the weight room, politically speaking, and how we have so many more of them ahead, and I agree. But we will never win back the culture or the politics and put the commies in the uninfluential minority if we continue to fight the culture war like the Vietnam War. By that I mean we have to cross the DMZ and march to Hanoi to destroy the source rather than fight a hopeless defensive war in the South. In other words, we have to get to the universities and disrupt their continual indoctrination of new communists, or we will forever be on the defensive and probably lose the republic. What say you? He asked me not to use his name, and I, of course, will not. Well, he's 100% correct. I've used this example a million times before. How much do you know about Julius Caesar and Pompey Magnus and their battle? You know anything about it? Well, I won't bore you with all the details, but Pompey Magnus was this incredible Roman legendary general before Caesar was. They were giving Pompey triumphs, you know, that big parade for him. Pompey was a big, big, big deal. And then along comes Julius Caesar, and there's the rebellion, whatever. We'll fast forward through all that and just know that Caesar has essentially tried to take over. Pompey Magnus has gathered up this incredible force to try to stop him. And he had way more men than Caesar did, but it's Julius friggin' Caesar. And so he ended up winning. And he ended up winning because he was the aggressor. And he did a lot of smart things that were majorly aggressive. And why was he so aggressive?
Caesar was so aggressive, in part because he was smart and that's what he believed, but in part because Pompey Magnus managed to do the really smart thing and move his forces in between Caesar and Caesar's supply lines, his logistics, his water. Therefore, Pompey knew, I don't have to do anything. I have cut you off from your reinforcements. I've cut you off from your water. I can just sit here and you're going to die if you don't do something. Throughout history, people have understood logistics are everything. There are 4 million, on average, college graduates a year in this country. 4 million of them. And they're being filtered through a university system that is evil and hates your guts and my guts. And if we don't address that problem, there's not enough get out the vote or anything else to stop us from that. This is actually going to tie, I brought this up for a reason. This is going to tie directly into this Senate Armed Services, this NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act. I hesitated to even go into the details because they're so nerdy. All right, so what is it? What's the NDAA and what does any of this have to do with logistics or the people or the, well, allow me to tie all this together for you. The Senate, the House, Congress, they have to pass something that's essentially going to get, it's the defense policy, the National Defense Authorization Act. Where's the money? What kind of money? How much money? Where are we going? The draft, all these things come into play. And people are missing some important parts of this. And we're going to talk about that. And we're even going to talk about women and the draft. And I have a take on that that you're probably going to hate. And it'll come all the way back to universities. It just might take me a while to get there. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Hard assets. The smartest people on the planet right now. They're buying up land, real estate, gold, and silver. Land, real estate, gold, and silver. From BlackRock to China to Warren Buffett, to the people who know are hoovering up hard assets. Do the same. Get some real estate in your hands. I know you're not made of money. I know times are tough. Done for you real estate knows that too. They will find you the properties. They will find you the properties. They'll vet them. They'll get you the financing. They'll handle the closing. They'll handle the rental process. This is for normal people to begin acquiring real estate. Go to doneforyoujesse.com and find out how. Doneforyoujesse.com. Let's talk about this big NDAA and how it ties back to the people, the universities, and everything else. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday with way too much to get to. I'm trying to get to as much as I can, but I don't want to be in a rush. When you're painting a masterpiece, Chris, you don't want to be in a rush. Did Leonardo get in a rush whenever he was finger painting or whatever it is that he did? No, he didn't. He took his time with those finger paints. That's what I'm doing here. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So I got a couple emails here, and I'm actually going to tie this back into military spending and the draft and so many other things. So first email, the guy said, hey, we have to go take back the universities or we can't save the country. Okay. And I got this one too. Jesse, it seems like the news about the mandatory cuts in Social Security payments on the horizon is making news. Not that anyone will try to fix it, but at least you can gloat about being right again. Because I've been warning you over and over again that these mandatory cuts are coming. They are coming. All right. Now, set all that aside. We will come back to it. We're going to approach this a different way. Last week, there was a big hubbub about the Senate Armed Services Committee. What are they doing? They're all working on the NDAA right now. About $890 billion. $890 billion. National defense money. As part of it, there's a selective service thing. Okay. Now, let's deal with that for a moment. I'll come back to the money portion. Believe me, I'm going to come back to that in a second.
because there's a lot of information out there. What is this selective service? Well, for the longest time, when you turn 18 as a dude in America, you had to go sign up. Not sign up and join the military. You had to go register. Meaning if there's a draft, they have all your information, they can call you. It has been mandatory for the longest time, all right? Selective service. It's been mandatory for the longest time. Now, what this was is they're making it automatic instead of mandatory, meaning you don't have to just run down and hand in your information. You see, a lot of people weren't doing that anymore. And they're now just going to automatically register you for, let's call it what it is, the draft. They're automatically going to register you for the draft. And it's caused quite a stink, especially on the right, that women are going to be part of this now. That was not the case before. You didn't have women being drafted in Vietnam and other times. Now it will. And, well, why are you mad about it? Let me explain. Allow me to explain. I don't want women drafted. I don't want women in combat. It speaks so poorly of a country that you would have women fighting for it. That's not the role of a woman. Men are built the way we're built because we're supposed to be the fighters and protectors. And it's not that women don't have critical roles in the military. They actually do. And go look at the service the World War II women put in. It's amazing. They do have critical roles they can play and should play, things they're better at. Women should be nowhere near frontline combat. They shouldn't be on naval vessels. They shouldn't be any of these places. They have no place there. It does not add anything to it. It degrades our force in every possible way. They get pregnant. It destroys the unit integrity. Having women integrated into these units has carpet bombed force readiness. And it's the secret everyone knows, yet no one wants to say. No one wants to talk about it. And that brings me back to the point I just made about the draft. Now you're mad? They can't draft our women! You know that they've had women on deployed naval vessels for decades now, right? What did you think that meant? What did you think it meant when they began integrating women into all these combat units, frontline combat units, deployed naval vessels? Did you think that was just for funsies? Did you think during wartime, all the women that we've had on these Navy ships, did you think they were going to, what, get to sit it out? Oh my gosh, it's combat, it's wartime. Gather up all the women, tell them to get back to base. We just have men on here now. You wanted women to train on the ships? Well, then they're going to die on the ships. My point is not that I want women drafted. I don't want women drafted. My point is, everyone's freaking out about the prospect of women being drafted. The time to freak out is back when everyone was being inclusive. We were really inclusive. No, you don't understand, Jesse. My daughter has always had a dream of being on a destroyer. I don't give a crap about your daughter's dreams. I care about her life. And I care about the United States military. And I care about unit integrity. I care about what makes a unit fast and deadly and awesome. And bringing women into that environment blows it up. There's love ships. There's drama. There's everything. It's a nightmare. I won't even tell you about the sea bags full of cash they come home with. And oh, I need to remind everyone again, these stories are known. They're known by the military brass. All the enlisted guys know about it. And so many of the politicians know about it. Now, let me ask you. You've seen all these politicians out there. They're not going to draft our women. You can't draft our women. Okay, fine. I don't want the women drafted either. How many of those same politicians? Find me. Here's your challenge. Find me the politician who's complaining about women being drafted, who had the guts to say women shouldn't be on deployed naval vessels. And you see, this is the problem, and this is going to come back to the emails and what we were talking about. We ignore certain things because we don't think them through.
and because we don't take into account that certain things are going to lead to other horrible things. But nobody wants to be Daddy Jesse when it matters. Because all I get are emails. Someone's typing up emails right now. I bet you I'll show up to 100 emails tomorrow. Now, Jesse, I served honorably and I'm a woman, as if I said otherwise. Jesse, my daughter's in and she's serving great. You're stupid. I'll show up to 1 million of those. You caveman. Ah, you're such a caveman. Oh, I think women should be treasured and protected. And if they serve in the military, their roles should be incredibly limited. And I've spoken about that publicly for years. Everyone ignored me or called me some kind of a barbarian. Today you wake up and find out tomorrow your daughter might be drafted into WW3 to die in Ukraine for BlackRock and Lindsey Graham. And now you're upset? The time to get upset is when they were stuffing them in every place. Co-ed boot camp and all this crap. Well, one thing led to another. And that's going to lead me to the spending, and then we're going to come back to the people and everything else. Hang on a second.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.